listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Let's get the victory lap started early on. It was you on Straight Outta Vegas before the weekend who called the Dallas Cowboys over the LA Rams, and it was a wipeout indeed from the Jerry Dome. Dallas 44-21 over LA.
Well, listen, I don't want to talk about this myself, but, well, let's just do this. By the way, quickly, and I can make it quick. I gave Colin Cowherd the biggest disagreement of the decade. He had the Rams. Biggest disagreement of the decade. I love the Cowboys. Love them. And it's simple. Line opened up Dallas -3. Everyone go, oh, Dallas hasn't won. Ah, okay, look at the stats. Stats haven't changed. Dallas is at least as good as the Rams. This line should be 3, and it's not. We're getting points. So best bet, let's just call it the month for me. No sure things, you remember, guys. Big bet, though, Cowboys plus the points from RJ.
And, you know, I didn't want to talk about that, so we had the recording do it. But it is not only fun and profitable, there's a great teaching moment here, because what I did in that handicap was zero in on, to me, the crux of the game, the decision you had to make as a handicapper. Do you trust the wins and losses, or do you trust the stats? Now, Fez, you're usually a stats guy. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
But somehow, some way, occasionally, and I still have not been able to figure out when this is, you'll just throw the stats out. And you actually liked the Rams in this game, if I recall.
No, I was neutral.
Is that the way you remember it, Brad?
I bet you on the podcast with the Rams. So well, that means I owe you a lot of money.
Hold on. I know you had like the Rams. Hold on. He pulls out his, like, he has 3,000 and hundreds. He just pulls it out. But Fez, let's just agree to this. A typical stats first, stats are preeminent, they tell the truth guy would have loved the Cowboys.
Absolutely. Because
you didn't love the Cowboys.
I did not. That eye test, I got in trouble with that eye test, worrying about internally the Cowboys. And let's face it, you spot on.
Worry about internally? What do you mean? Like, you had some real insight into what was going on in the locker room?
No insight.
But somehow that dictated. And that's the lesson, guys. Listen, Cowboys could have lost that game by 30. In fact, I think it was more likely the Cowboys get blown out in that game than then blow out the Rams. I just thought the Cowboys had value. We don't bet teams, we bet numbers. And when we say numbers, we're talking about point spreads here. But how do you decide which team to bet? And this, to me, is one of the great insights of football handicapping. And again, you can lose a lot, many games in a row with this approach. This is not like, oh, it's a sure. There are no sure things. As I said, even then, every game, even the best of games, is going to lose more than 40% of the time. Most more than 45. But there's only 16 games. I don't believe Seattle is very good. I mean, I think they're a 9-7 level team. I really do. But they are now the number one seed in the NFC. I don't think Green Bay is very good. And they have the inside track for the number two. I think that's where they are right now, right, Brian?
Yep.
So literally, I think Saints are better than both of them. What do you think, Fez?
Agree strongly. I've got Seattle, my number 8 team. Green Bay, get this, RJ, my number 12 team currently in my ratings.
I would tend to agree with that. Wow, 12. So who's 11?
Houston.
Houston's better. Who's 10?
Tennessee.
So you have Tennessee better than Green Bay.
Yes.
And Tennessee's on the outside looking in, playoff hunt-wise. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. I would take Minnesota, even money, neutral field, especially if the game were at 1 o'clock. But let's just say we aren't worried about Cousins and his propensities at 1 versus other times. I would take Minnesota, even money, over Seattle all day. Fez?
Oh, absolutely. And coincidentally, Minnesota's playing Green Bay this Monday night. Minnesota is laying 4.5. So the markets are saying Minnesota is better than Green Bay.
Now, that's beautiful. Sometimes great on topic, contextually relevant insight from Steve Fezzik is the idea that we don't have to speculate. This game is where? In Minnesota?
Yes.
Let's give them 3.5 for home. They're one of the better, you know, maybe the 5th or 6th best home field, Minnesota. right? And so let's say the line would be 3.5 if the market judged these teams as even, Green Bay and Minnesota. And the line is?
4.5.
You think it's going down?
No.
I don't think so. It could. I don't think so.
Right out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So, RJ, we talked about the Cowboys' big win over the L.A. Rams, but things got started off with a little bit of controversy at the opening coin flip, where there was sort of a misunderstanding in which it appeared for at least a moment that Dak Prescott wanted the L.A. Rams to not only get the ball to start the game, but also have the ball to start the second half.
Yeah, so you have a choice, and I think this, we'll go through it quickly, but I think it is telling. You have a choice to decide. Do you want to decide if you want the ball or not? Not saying you want the ball or not. Do you want that decision, or do you want to decide which goal you defend, effectively which direction you'll go first? And in overtime, Belichick, one time when the wind was substantial, said, we'll take a choice on defending a certain goal, you know, direction, and then you can choose the ball, which obviously, if it's if you're going to only get one choice and it's the take the ball or not, almost everyone but Tomlin would probably take the ball. Now, Tomlin would have some convoluted, hey, let's give him some credit, but he still has a lot of bad metagame decisions. Most of the time, you're going to take the ball, all things equal. So what ended up happening was that in the garbled phrase that came from Dak, the first thing he said that made any sense, I guess, or that was a word that's like a term of art that you would think, okay, that he's telling us something, was about defending a certain end of the field. Fez?
Yeah, I actually think he said, we're going to kick, is what he said.
Okay.
And then he made some other comments. He said, oh, we're going to defer, apparently, after saying we're going to kick.
Yeah. So Football Zebras, which is a website I happen to follow on Twitter, who, you know, there's a, people with experience as refs, they said that, you know, you pointed out the rule and said, listen, the first thing you say that can be defined as this is the intent of what you want has to rule. Because otherwise, if it's the second thing you say, then how do you decide is it the first or the second? So under his theory, it was a huge mistake that Dallas ended up getting the ball that they said, oh, we know what you meant, effectively. You would never say, you know, I don't want the ball. And I, you know, it didn't make sense. Okay, fine. It doesn't make sense if someone doesn't send in their taxes, but what happens, right? Doesn't make sense not looking left and right when you cross a busy intersection. What happens? Now, let's compare to the 1962. So, Faz, I think this was your first three-star lock, if I remember. In 1962, the AFL championship game, this almost exact thing happened. But it was only the second overtime ever. Stram was the coach. Remember that famous guy up in that? Hank Stram, I think.
Yeah, his name? Matriculate.
Yeah, the Matriculate dude. And what happened was, since this overtime had never happened, he was very clear to his team, say this, say this. Ended up saying something similar, what was garbled. But the first thing they could hear was defend or defer or whatever it is. And they ended up not getting the ball. I mean, this literally was the championship game of the AFL. They made a mistake, and they said, huh, tough luck. Just like a kid crossing the street, look both ways, or there might be consequences. And you know what we say now? Ah, we knew what he meant. No big deal. Don't worry about the rules. You might say, but RJ, you knew the intent. What was justice? If you knew what Dak meant, what was justice? I think if this was the last football game ever played, I would agree with you. Let's try to get the right. It's almost like last day in college. You're not really worried. Last day in high school. You're not really worried about the next thing. You can let it be this thing, all right? Or, Brad, if I remember, some stories I've heard about you is when you've had the last day at an apartment and you knew you weren't getting the security deposit back. Oh, now, that was some truth there that came out, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. That's Brad Powers. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. But there is another game. There's more games this weekend. And what precedent did we set? Did the league set? We're not going to go by the rules. We're going to go subjectively by what we think the righteous answer is. And you know something? one of the beauties of the legal system is when it's unfair. Now, that sounds crazy, but if it's unfair in a way that yields fairness to 1,000 other people, it might be the O.J. Simpson trial. A lot of people would say, oh, it was unfair he didn't get convicted. I believe O.J., if you would have said, as a guy who literally makes a living at setting odds, we are the official odds maker for the Associated Press, 750 newspapers, 1,000-plus websites. Pretty good at this, is I would have 100% without too much delay voted not guilty in the OJ case. But if you ask me the odds of him doing it, I'd say 95%. That seems like a paradox. It's not. To convict someone of murder, of any serious crime, you got to be over 99%. So I can strongly believe he did it and still say not guilty, right? And you might say, well, that's not justice. Yeah, maybe. But if you let OJ get put away back then in 95 or whatever, because we know what the right answer is, don't let the rules dictate. Well, where does that stop? And it's the same thing. Whatever political position you have, there's a lot of cases, Democrats, Republicans, if you do this, then they're going to do that when it's flipped, and then it's chaos. And to some degree, you think back to Nixon in 60. Nixon had, there were some real, and let's just say Illinois and Mayor Daley, there were some real questions, if you're a student of history, about JFK winning. Senior had, Joe Kennedy had a ton of connections, let's just say that, Sam Giacona and such. And the reality is, Nixon said, listen, we start doing that, where does it end? Which is code for I had some shenanigans going on too. Al Gore, whatever you want to say about him, not a super popular guy even at the time, he eventually said, I concede in 2000. He could have kept fighting, but he said there's something bigger here. Even if he believed he was right, there's something bigger here. Politically, I'm not sure we're in that space anymore, and I think that could be problematic. But in the NFL, us saying, well, the rules don't matter, because the rules clearly state that what Dak said should have had the consequence of what we thought it was going to say. McVay literally spent the entire halftime thinking they were getting the ball. Now, how unfair is that? Because you're going to be very different if you're down X yep. points and you're getting the ball, right? And then he's walking out. Oh, by the way, we know what Dak meant. Well, if you knew, you should at least told him before, right? So I think it's a sign that we don't want there to be consequences. We think we can rise above nature's consequences. It's just amazing in 62, in a championship game, you got to go by the rules. Not even the NFL, the AFL. And then, you know, 50 or 60 years later, yeah, we knew what he meant. And there was money at stake too, which is really why I care. Fez, let's talk about that halftime line, because if you think the Rams are getting the ball, you're going to handicap that very differently than if they're having to kick again or kick off. So with the assumption the betting marketplace had, everybody had, that the Rams were going to get the ball, what was the halftime line?
Yeah, so it opened.
Opening line.
Opening line was Rams minus -4.
All right, and then the money came pouring in where?
On the Rams.
Rams.
Up to -5.5.
Now, listen, we're talking probably, would we say $1 million worldwide?
Oh, yeah.
Now, think about that.
Wow.
You know, I don't know halftime betting as well as Fez, but let's say Fez is right. And then what happened?
Then word leaked that the Rams weren't going to get the ball, and the line went right back down to 4.
So in a weird way, as the NFL embraces sports betting, like we talk about with injuries, and it's probably the one thing I've pounded my fist on in 15 months of this show, which is if there's millions at stake, you got to treat it like the stock market, a betting market. This isn't your whims anymore. This is about people's money now. And you're making money from them betting. It's one thing if the people's betting on you without your permission, and if you're not benefiting, you can't be responsible. Here, you're benefiting now. The league is benefiting directly from gambling, and they owe it to gamblers. It's not a dirty word. They owe it to gamblers to get things right. That's with injuries, That's what stuff like this. Whatever the case, if this was such a close call, if you read the press release where they reference some, well, in conjunction with the on-field officials' game management, now it's not applicable. Go to Football Zebras and read this. He was very negative about this, and it made a ton of sense to me. But if it's so easy and clear, then let us know before halftime, right? There's no excuse for that. No excuse.
Right out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
So what happened here with this baddest of the bad beats, Fez, the over-under was what?
49.
Okay. And with 5 seconds left in the game, no chance of overtime, right?
Right.
There was over a touchdown to give.
Yeah, they had 39 points.
Okay, so literally 10 points to give. And a lot of people had even 39 or 49 and a half, so even more. You know, somehow a touchdown, a field goal wouldn't have even done it for most people. How do you lose? I mean, like, think about it. At that point, if little Johnny said, Daddy Fez, how do I lose?
Don't worry about it, Johnny. You can't lose here. Go ahead and move on to the next game.
This is what you call a lock. Now get back to doing that data entry, is what you would have said, right?
Yes.
I mean, I can't pay anyone to do this. You're learning. Belichick said you got to learn in the trenches. And then, boom, touchdown. It was called one way on the field, went up. Tight call, touchdown.
Exactly right. So initially they say no touchdown. Oh, final score is 22-17. And then, oh, upon further review, they're going to give Atlanta the touchdown. It's going to be a 23-22 final. Oh, but RJ, let's take a look at the play clock. As it turns out, let's put 2 seconds back on the clock as well.
Daddy, should we be concerned?
No. We still got a 99% chance here to win.
And then, you know, lateral, fumble, touchdown. Oh, no big deal. I mean, this line got bet up, right?
Yeah, I saw 48, and then, like you said, it closed 49-49.5.
And I think it opened 46, like the early night. So by far, more people lost. Think about that. If I told you, Jonas, and again, you know betting. I mean, not necessarily in a winning way,
yeah,
but
I'm
you
not
bet.
Good at it. Yeah, I know how to
exactly.
lose.
But
yeah.
If anything, you're the great prototype of the average batter.
Yes.
And if I were to tell you, okay, here we are, there's 5 seconds left, there's got to be 2 touchdowns to lose, like, what would you put the odds on it?
Oh, God. Impossible. Like, there's no
almost
way.
Impossible.
Yeah, almost impossible.
Because they got, remember, they got to score on the first play. Because if they don't score on the first play with 5 seconds left, they don't have time even for the kickoff.
And they got to score quick, so there's still time on the clock.
So you're saying even with 5 seconds, even if they score in one play, it could be more than 5 seconds.
Yes.
Well, that's a good point. So, Fez, what odds did you put on it?
I came up with 0.6% as my final number. So, that's
so
like
200
hitting a,
to 1.
It's like hitting a one-outer on...
Now, we don't need any analogies. 200 to 1.
Yes.
200 to 1. I think that seems cheap. You're not booking this, you know. I mean, you can give a fair number.
It might even be higher.
I would go a little higher than that. Because how many times out of the kickoffs do they actually return it for a touchdown? Where when you're trying to do the laterals, I mean, that's rare. Then you add in, you got to score. Then you add in, you got to score quick to even get a chance for that. Ooh.
And it was also kind of a tease because on pregame.com, the point total opened at 45.5.
Yeah.
When it was 23-22, they could have kicked the extra point or gone for two. They took a knee. So if you had the over right there of 45.5, you thought you were going to lose because they played it safe to take a knee.
Ooh.
And you ended up hitting on the kickoff. So roller coaster of emotions.
Oh, my God. And you know something? In a way, that's one of the reasons people love batting. You might say, wait a minute, are they masochistic? Do they like pain? No, it kind of replicates life. Think about life. How often you get so excited that you're screaming and whooping it up. But as a batter, you do. You go to a sports book. You hear they got $30 on the game. And how often do you feel like you can't think of anything else but losing? And the beauty of it is, 2 days later, you never think about it again. But in life, when you feel that much emotion, it's rare when it's so high, and it's usually much, much more long-lasting if you get that low. And we do like to get high, you know, excited and low. It sounds weird, but there's something about that that tells us, like, there's this truth in our soul that we want to feel it, but we don't want to necessarily live it for real, because we've all probably lived it at least a little bit, and you don't want to necessarily go back.
Right out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.